From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Dugout Podcast. This was what to be the season prediction episode as we see how the season is going to pan out in 2020. But as of right now, we don't even know when the season is going to start. So if you've been living under a rock, pretty much any part of the world, you kind of know what's going on with society, especially with sports, where sports overall have become to a halt in a sense. Matter of fact, if you go back to our episode Wednesday after the Knick game, we were on with Dominic, myself. We were talking at that point, the NBA was shutting down its season last Wednesday night. Then the very next day, all the other sports followed the NBA's lead. So right now we are in a part of life, society, and I'm pretty sure nobody has gone through this in their generations of no sports at all. I'm not even talking about an off season. I'm talking about no sports whatsoever because of society. I guess they're calling it a pandemic. So right now with the baseball, we'll still have that discussion. We'll still have that dialogue and see how our Yankees are going to do this year. We'll even look at other teams, other divisions, lightly as far as 2020. But we don't even know when the start of the season is, man. We really don't. So last couple of episodes, check out the infield episode. Check out the outfield episode. At the start of spring training, a couple of the games that we discussed and prior to that before the stop of spring training. But let's get to the season prediction stuff, man, because I believe eventually there's still going to be a 2020 season. Whether it's 162 games or not, that's another story. I'm not going to dig into that part of it. But as far as the season, yes, I believe there's definitely going to be a season at some point in 2020. And if there is a season, how are the Yankees going to do in 2020 versus the competition in the American League? Bring on Susie Prof, at Susie Prof 1 on Instagram as well. From Bleeding Yankee Blue, writer, blogger, Suzanne, how are you getting through this period of no spring training when we're so accustomed to spring training in the month of March every year since I can remember? For decades, centuries. How you doing?
The struggle is real. The struggle is real. I mean, I could not believe my eyes in watching this coverage. I'm grounded. You know, I work in Philadelphia. I live in New Jersey, and I've been grounded since last Wednesday. And, you know, every day we're learning more and more. I'm sure you read, if you haven't read my piece over the weekend, Gary Sanchez came down with the flu. I was curious why he wasn't tested for COVID. And what I'm hearing is if you have the flu, then you wouldn't get tested. But I'll be honest with you, like, I'm worried about the team. I know they decided unanimously to stay in Tampa until yesterday when yesterday they called off everything, and then today they Manfred said, listen, we're probably push this back minimally till May. So it's the struggle is real. I mean, it is a tough time not to be coming home and releasing energy and stress by watching sports. I mean, even if it's not baseball, I mean, you know, you mentioned the Knicks. I mean, the Rangers were good. Likely the NFL draft will be done via the internet as opposed to in person. So this is a time that we have never seen. Unless you're 102 years old, in 1918 was the last time we saw anything that looked anything like a pandemic, even with H1N1. Or Ebola and any of those other swine flu, which I think is H1N1. we didn't have nearly the unraveling of our entire, United States and world at this point, in the way that we do today. So we have to be, I guess, grateful that we're here tonight and that we can talk about this stuff. But it is it is tough, especially when you go through the winter blues and you're looking forward to the, you know, the sunlight and of spring. And here we are 1 week away, and my son and I bought opening day tickets to go down to Baltimore, and who knows when that will
be. Oh, nice. Nice. That game would have been scheduled for, I believe, March 26th on a Thursday, correct?
Yeah, we bought them on a whim last week. Maybe a little more than that, maybe about 10 days ago. And we were like, yeah, we're just going to do it. You know, and clearly that's not going to happen until likely May, if that even plays at all. Like, to your point, Steve, I don't know. I don't think I mean, I hate to speculate, but I don't think it's going to be 162 games. I'll be glad if they come back. I mean, I'll be glad if they come back in June, July, really, just to even get a half a season, because you can't go much further than October. Given the weather, although we're playing in March. So I have no idea. I will tell you, I am born on November 3rd, so I've always wanted a World Series on my day. The closest that I ever got it was the Cubs winning the World Series after the stroke of midnight on November 3rd. So I'd be happy for some November baseball, personally.
Let me ask you this. If they did the season, what do you think you think it's going to be June? Do you think maybe All-Star break they would get this thing going? Like,
yeah.
What do you think on the guesstimate on the time frame?
That is my inclination, is to go with, an All-Star thing. Or, I mean, you can't really – I mean, you're canceling half the season. I mean, could you cancel the All-Star game? I think we probably need the All-Star game, quite frankly, as a celebratory opportunity for America. So, and then that kicks right into the Olympics, if we can possibly have that. They're calling for May, which might be after Memorial Day. Do we continue quote unquote spring training through June and start, after the Olympics? Maybe.
Burning hot in Florida and Arizona, respectively, for those the Great Fruit League and the Cactus League. I mean, it would be hot in June. I mean, I'm not to say they're not going to do it, but
100%.
I'm just looking at from the players, like, man. Whoo.
100%. Yeah. But who's to say that the spring training, quote unquote, doesn't happen in their home, like their home park?
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, they do exhibition games.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I like that idea better.
That's kind of where I was going. I wasn't even going with, Florida, Tampa, Arizona. Yeah, I wasn't going. I was actually more going with, it's like our school kids, right? I have two kids. One of them graduated, thankfully, last year from college. The other one is in high school, and I mean, quite frankly, what is she – I don't know. I mean, what is she really going to learn or be able to perform in the next few weeks? I have no clue. With that said, honestly, like, knowing that you don't have your full facility, you can't really do the kind of drills that you would do in person. Like, I canceled my personal trainer personally tonight because even before they called this, because I just felt, like, funky last week, and you're not in your routine. I mean, then you worry about, well, they weren't ramped up yet, and they get injured. So at this point,
right,
do you give it, like, to your, do we play some exhibition games in the ACC? Do we travel a little bit? They're mostly exhibition, just we're ramping up. Do we play more in the vicinity of, the East folks play each other, so we're not real traveling yet, like we're easing into it, because that's
right.
The other piece, Steve. Then they have to get on planes and everything else, and do we introduce that whole mess into this. I think we're grounded probably until All-Star break is my feeling.
Okay. I can see that. If there was to be spring training games and if they were in the local parks, like, of course, or more so parks close and nearby, I could see that as well. I mean, I could see exhibition games versus the Mets or the Philadelphia Phillies. Who's another team in that division? Well, maybe Miami and Atlanta. That's a little more south.
Baltimore.
But the whole Baltimore, of course, D.C., of course.
Boston,
I could see, because those are easier bus rides than getting on a plane. Even though they don't have their own team plane anyway, so they don't have to go to do the hassle of all that, depending on how that's going to be. Now, you brought up the point as far as All-Star games. Now, if they may not have an All-Star game, but I would think they would have some sort of All-Star festivity, home run derby, of course, the things that they normally do around the actual game. Because how can you have an All-Star game? Right. How can you have an All-Star game with players if you didn't really have a first half of the season to earn that spot? But they probably maybe do something with the vote of getting somebody in a home run derby, maybe an exhibition game or something like that. I can see that because I think that's it's in Los Angeles this year. So, and you brought up a good point as far as the Olympics. And from what I understand with them, I know it has nothing to do with baseball, but I know the show must go on. And you're going to, at one time, you'll see or you'll have, with the games being in Tokyo. I mean, that means games will be like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the baseball picks up in the afternoon, assuming baseball is back in session around that time. I think it will be. So we shall see on that. And you were bringing up a good point, because as far as our own team, and then this applies to all the teams, but especially our team, when we were getting injuries, we were getting guys back. We were getting guys back and then guys started getting injured again. But you know what? Then you look at a guy like Domingo Germán, who's had half a season of 81 games. He's pretty much going to miss 2020. Because if you're playing half a season, he's not even – we're not going to see him. And some of us were kind of sort of – I'm not saying counting on him, but he would have been more like an icing on the cake type of situation once he got acclimated, went through some minor league pitching, some regulated starts, and then simulation starts, and then they throw him in there as far as maybe a couple of innings here and there. Because, he's got filthy stuff. He could definitely – an arsenal of pitches that we could definitely use. But I just – now because of this situation with society, I just – he's not even going to be in 2020. you just got to write him off. What about other players that's for our advantage? Like, the guys who are getting injured, the judges, like them getting chances to heal. What about guys who were trying to get back into spring training shape? What if they, because of spring training getting canceled? Now, this applies to everybody, like getting back into shape as far as if they're going to have a shortened season. I think, Suzanne, I also believe there's a possibility, instead of the regular schedule that we're having, they might have a revamped schedule. You play more divisions. I mean, they got to make it fair as well. Who, if they were to have a playoff at the end of the season, who gets in based off of what?
Yeah, they're going to have to restructure for sure. As far as the guys getting ready, I'm getting ramped up and now I'm pulling back again kind of thing. Jordan Montgomery, I think he, as a young player coming back from Tommy John, Judge, it benefits Giancarlo Stanton. Probably Luke Voit. I mean, it benefits some of these guys, that coming back from injury, who may need a little bit of extra time. We always used to laugh about, like, Mark Teixeira. He didn't, like, get ramped up until, like, May, June, because he just really couldn't play in April. Really, it was June when Teixeira would actually start to swing the bat. I mean, do you see now Miggy needing, like, a little extra time to kind of, like, nurse that arm a little bit? I mean, they're trying him out in the outfield. I don't know how that's going to work out. But Andujar needs, like, maybe a little bit more time to kind of get ready. It does benefit guys. as far as like ramp it up. Gary Sanchez, could we actually see him play every game throughout the end of the season? I mean, one of my big things was I was worried. I mean, and I've been worried, you know, and, you know, Higgy looks like, you know, he's ready to step up for the challenge, but, you know, he's no Austin Romine. I mean, we lost a guy, which honestly, he deserves to start somewhere. I mean, quite frankly, his leadership skills, his ability to play, play defensively well. He was swinging the bat well last year. He deserves it. But, you know, we were going to experience a void there because there is no way Sanchez athletically could you know, have the endurance of an entire season. So does it benefit Sanchez? Likely. So, I mean, other than us being without baseball, which is, again, the struggle is real. Like, it pains my heart. I've been dying for it. And, you know, when I start to get close to February, knowing that I'm going to start to really ramp up and start to see, you know, a lot more action and you know, guys, you know, talking about the season and you know, just seeing the coverage and just everything kind of escalated, you know, it's a letdown. And now, you know, we've got what, you know, Gerrit Cole coming in and being the stud that we need. And to your point, Steve, it's a shame that we're not going to have him on to kind of be like that, just like icing on the cake, because we will not see him this year, likely, is my feeling. You know, there's a lot of, like, in some ways, some extra pros to see, like, all right, these guys need a little extra time. We weren't quite ready. But then there's the con of we just, you know, miss multiple weeks and months of baseball, and it pains my heart. Now, does it is it an asterisk season? I hate to even use the word AS anything.
Absolutely.
But I mean, clearly. But and that dampens it a little bit for me and for you and for everybody else. But, I mean, it is what it is at this point. At least I'm hoping that we see the light of day and we get to see baseball.
Yeah, it is an asterisk season. This is a sport where 162 games is a marathon, and historically with this sport, you're defined, or a team is defined each season on how it's compared to past teams in history on how they've done statistically, individually, and as a ball club. So this is definitely an asterisk season. This is beyond, of course, the sport of baseball, because in the past, if you had strikes shortened seasons or whatever, that's probably because of labor unions. They probably could have reached a collective bargaining agreement, stuff like that. But none of that applies to this particular situation. When it comes to baseball, Suzanne, let's say, okay, hypothetically, we're saying, okay, July. They started in July, and they end the regular season in September. So that we're talking about July, August, September. That's 3 months. That's about, you could probably get in 100 games right there. So you're thinking about 30 days on average a month. I know July is 31 and August is 31. But let's say hypothetically you have 100 games and you're still trying to get a day of travel to go to whatever city to city. Or if they do, like I think they probably could or would do, is probably eliminate some of the other games that you normally would have traveled to, like one of the, you know, all the teams in the AL Central, all the teams in the AL West, or even some of the interleague games, eliminate a lot of that and just play mostly division games. You probably have to win out your division. I mean, they probably go that route. I would be shocked that they would do the, you know, keep the regular season schedule as is and just scratch off all the games they would have played that's not going to be there. And then also, we already know about the Field of Dreams game. That would have been in August, mid-August. I don't see them doing that no more. I think they'll just move that game. If they play in Chicago, I mean, if they're playing Chicago that weekend, I think they'll just go to Chicago, or they scratch the Chicago game and replace it with a division game. It would make a lot of sense if things have not gotten as well. Do you see that? You think that could happen, or how do you see it in that sense? So let's say the Field of Dreams game. Is that game going to still be played or no?
I mean, I think you bring up a really good point, Steve. I mean, do we play these games? Do we play out in London again? I mean, we, you know, Yankees aren't playing out there, but do they play a game out there? Do we do these things? I mean, baseball was doing a little PR around this, right? Do they play the Little League World Series game out at Williamsport? I mean, is the Little League World Series even going to happen? You know, so it's you know, you bring up really good points. I think kicking off the season with some sort of celebratory all-star-ish celebration is smart. I don't think
that's a great
that
idea.
I mean, you sold the tickets to the Field of Dreams. I don't know. I mean, do you hold it? I actually think, Steve, we're going to go past October. I think they could play into November, into the second week in November, really, because if it's cold, it's cold. I mean, it's going to be cold. I mean, lately, we've been colder in March, April. It was starting in March. It's been colder in March, April than it has been in October, November. So really, if I'm baseball, I'm thinking I could squeeze out a couple extra weeks, be done before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is late again this year. So I could really get in 2 weeks in November for the postseason, run a couple extra weeks in October, and get those 2 weeks. Now, if I add those 2 weeks into October leading into the postseason, do I keep the Field of Dreams game? Maybe. You know, these are the kinds of things that they need to work out. And obviously, tickets have been sold, so they're going to have to figure that out. As I said, my son and I were going to Baltimore. Obviously, they're going to play that game somewhere. That game is going to get played, and we'll go down to Baltimore and we'll watch that game. That's a division game. That's not going out the window. Like to your point, I mean, some of the you know, specialty games that they were using to kind of brand baseball and bring baseball back could go by the wayside. But if you think about extending the season into October, maybe they keep it. It's hard to say. You know, I don't envy the guys that have to redo this. To your point, do we fly out to California? I mean, do we bypass those West Coast games? You know, we minimize that kind of travel. We may need to. I mean, I don't know what kind of flights they're going to get. I mean, the airlines are now kind of cutting back as well. I mean, obviously with baseball and sports coming back, you know, and business travel. I mean, I've been grounded. Clearly, all of my conferences are canceled. I mean, we're talking some major, to the point that you said earlier, this is a major pandemic, major changes in our lifestyle at this point. It's hard to say. But what I will say is when it does come back, it really needs to be celebratory.
Right, absolutely. I think it would. Of course, I think all the sports would do it to their own style, their own way of bringing the sport back when it does, and the cancellation across the board. But you know what, Susan, which, you know, plays into our advantage as our squad, the Yankees. The Yankees go to the West Coast early this year. They go to Oakland. They go to Seattle. That's in early April. So if this thing is pushed back like we're suggesting, we're going to miss those trips anyway, and they're not going to bring that back.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't see that bringing it back. They play the Angels. I do remember they play the Angels. I'm thinking the weekend after Memorial. It's late May, basically. Late May. I think it's the weekend after. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I remember the road games, when they were. So when we're talking about the West Coast games, and if this thing is pushed into June, July, like we're thinking it could be, we're going to miss all the West Coast games anyway, and they're not going to bring that back. So I think going from 162 to about, I say, 100 is doable. And then also, let's not count out the fact that you can always double up, meaning double headers, which I love. I always love the double header. I wish they played it more.
That's celebratory, right? In some ways, that's a celebratory. I mean, it will have to be double ticket double headers, I think, at this point. You know, I mean, you can't, it's got to be two different games in order to get people to get into the games, right? You don't think it'd be single ticket double headers, right?
That's a great question. You know, it probably depends. It could probably just depend on the organization. I think that's maybe just an organizational thing. I'm not exactly sure if that's a Major League Baseball thing. I think that's, at the end of the day, that's probably based on the team, however they choose to do it. And if they're, I mean, at this point, I mean, they're trying to get, if we're at a situation with a pandemic and their goal is to get people to come to the games anyway, not to say the Yankees have that issue. I mean, this thing could go, I mean, if that situation or the pandemic is still at a point where people are being wary of going out, then they're going to have a harder time maybe selling double tickets to a single day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah. Yankee fans, I mean, that, it could be a different animal. I mean, maybe Yankee fans just don't care, man. Like, we're just going. Like, we'll go to the game. We're going to rep our team. This is a possible World Series year, asterisk season, non-asterisk season or whatever. So I think there would be a lot of anticipation from the Yankee, and I don't know. I can speak for all the rest of the baseball clubs who struggle to sell tickets, or that they have the issue of, you know, maybe not because they're not a playoff team as well. Let me ask you this, because let's say this is a shortened season. Oh, this will be a shortened season, but I don't know by how many games. The team that really worries me the most within our division is obviously, for me, is Tampa Bay. It's been the same Tampa team the last couple of years. This is one of those situations, Suzanne, that because it's shortened, a team like that is the biggest threat of winning the division because you're not playing the 462 games. Sometimes in baseball, as you already know, it takes a while to get on a roll or those win streaks to pile up or winning series and stuff like that. A team like a pesky Nat-like team in the Rays is not going to go away. And sometimes if you are the Yankees and you get off to a slow start, we might have to settle for, if it's possible, as crazy as this sounds, it could come down between these two teams in the AL East. I'll even go further, not saying Toronto would be in this situation, but if you're only playing a shortened season, all you got to do is play well for 100 games versus 162. That gives more teams, regardless of division, an opportunity to compete and get a playoff spot. And if, like you said, if this thing goes into November, which it possibly could, I mean, you know, it's not going to be as cold like it has been in years in the past. As long as you cut off the games by Thanksgiving, I mean, I think more teams, I could go division by division and say, hey, man, this team has a chance now because of a shortened season. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the schedule right now. We would have gone till September 27th, Sunday, okay?
Okay.
Which means postseason likely starts on Tuesday the 29th. Now, I'm saying Tuesday, September 29th. I say go those extra two, potentially 3 weeks, and get in a few more games. Now, I say we get rid of Interleague, unless you want to play Subway, unless you want to keep, like, just a Subway ticket, so all the teams that have, like, a Subway series or somewhat like it, a rivalry, National League, American League kind of thing in their city, and you don't, like, play the Cincinnati Reds, people are going to play Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't see any value in any of those kinds of games. They're not in our division. I think Toronto is a good team. I mean, they have young players. They are good. They could be a problem. We play Tampa Bay twice in September. We play 3 games away, 3 games at home in that final weekend. We play Toronto 6 games in September. I mean, obviously, we play a lot of AL East teams, division teams in September. But, I mean, Tampa Bay is not going away.
Nope.
Clearly, Toronto is not going away. Boston's not going to be good. Baltimore's not going to be good. So we're battling with them. And you know what? They've been a pain in our side, you know, because they're young and they're hungry and they play well. I mean, we got to play 4 games at home against Houston in September, which is just a joke. They throw those stupid games in there. Never in our life will we have ever played a team that's out of our division. And let's not forget, Steve, you and I remember Houston being in the National League. So this is, to me, the whole thing is a joke, right? Then we're playing them four games, the last the home week of the season is an absolute joke. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, we're playing Minnesota in June, you know, who's you know, I think potentially going to be good again.
Do you think we're going to play them, knowing that it's possible that the season, because we played them in mid June at their place, but you think the season is closer to July, or you think this thing would be in June, or you think it's borderline because you know that June games.
I'm sticking with more of a July. But would we play these other games as like, and I think we said this earlier, because this, it's mostly, I would say, like spring training-ish exhibition games, you'd kind of play them close, even if they're interleague, because of the, you know, proximity. You play the Phillies, you play Pittsburgh, you play places that you could, like, literally get on a bus. We're likely not. But I'm just looking at, like, you know, the competition that we have around. I mean, we basically really haven't had an opportunity to see, you know, everybody play, you know, and really get a good look at them. I mean, some of the regular players hadn't even started to play yet before we went out. You know, we still weren't seeing everybody. So I don't know. I mean, Steve, it's tough. I look at August as is. And August, as is, it is, you know, the beginning of the month, other than Boston, is all teams that are out of our division, like Kansas City and Chicago White Sox and Cleveland. You know, do we keep them in there, or do we stack more of the East teams? But you asked the question about the AL East and who's going to give us a hard time. I 100% agree with you. I think Tampa Bay and Toronto are going to be a thorn in our side, and they're going to eat at us, and we've got to be ready for that.
We got a taste of Toronto last year, or the league, because Toronto has a lot of these players who are sons of former very good players of the 90s, the Guerreros, the Biggios, the Bichettes. And then you add in Grichuk, who came over from St. Louis a couple of years ago. I mean, these guys, they're fearless. They just don't have the experience. And as every season goes, they'll gain it by playing games. That's just the mental makeup of playing sports. You know, you learn from the, you know, your recovery, your memory bank from the off season, in the off season, from the games you did play, whether you got through a full season, had some nicked up injuries, how did you get better, stronger? Did you study the tape, the analytics of the game as far as hitting? So this is why the Blue Jays, and they're due, man. I mean, outside of those Jose Bautista-type teams, which was okay with the Tulowitzkis, I mean, they had a nice little team. I remember they got, you know, they played the Rangers a couple of times. Oh, they beat the Orioles in a play-in game into the playoffs, and they ended up playing. Like, those are okay Blue Jays teams, but this is more of the youth, kind of like what we're doing. They have a lot of fearless guys. I mean, they added Ryu from the Dodgers to add to the top of their rotation. You added Anderson, the Shoemaker, and Rourke, the roundup starting pitcher. I mean, it's not the greatest, but it's serviceable. Because they have the hitting, man. I mean, Biggio, I think Biggio's pretty good. Bichette's son is I hate the fact that he killed us in one game last year. They have a nice young team, but they're also, like you said, with Tampa Bay, I mean, they just have a bunch of guys who just play it the right way. It's like because a lot of people don't see them nationally. They don't know who's on the team, but because we're the Yankees, we see them 18 times a year, like the Red Sox, the Orioles, and Jays. But, I mean, they have a bunch of guys who could just play, like Kiermaier. I mean, we said it even last year going into this year. This is a guy you got to watch out for. I mean, Adams and then starting pitching with Glasnow, Charlie Morton, and Blake Snell. They have above average starting pitching. And then, of course, that's always going to keep you in games. If you got a good starting pitcher, you already know, Susan. If you have at least above average starting pitching, which they do, you're always in it. You're always in it. It doesn't matter what. If you play sound defensively, which they can, you're always in it. That's why I worry about them, man, because they don't care. They don't care if the Red Sox go down to Tampa Bay. They don't care if the Yankees come there and it's mostly Yankee fans. They're gonna compete. Their thing is all about competing, man. It's almost like they play mostly road games. Everybody plays 81 home and 81 road games in the full season. But it seems like they play less home games because other teams from like the Yankees and the Red Sox come down there. They'll get more of our fans on the road. But they don't care. They don't care. No. I worry about them, man. I really do. And then the bullpen is still straight to it. Alvarado and Anderson and Castillo. I worry about the Tampa Bay Rays, man. Honestly, if this thing was an asterisk season, like we're saying it is, I would not be surprised if they pulled this out. And this would probably piss a lot of Yankee fans off listening to this because of the shortened season. It's not the full marathon like. If it was 162, I see Yankees all day, 105, 107 wins, whatever. Injuries get bad, guys get bad. But we're going out, we're not going to have a Herman for the year. We're not going to, who knows what, the Stanton. I know you've been pissed about Stanton and the Judge with the shoulder and the wrist. We have a lot of question marks, but maybe because of the timing of the pandemic. I think the Rays, man, I think this is more of an advantage for them than anybody within our division. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. They are a scrappy team. They will do anything to win, and they have been disruptors for the Yankees for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
If you give them, if you shorten the season and give the Yankees less time, they could come out. I mean, nobody thought the Washington Nationals would get where they were. They were a wild card team, for God's sake. I mean, I thought they were a gritty team. But to me, the Washington Nationals are the Tampa Bay Rays in many ways, in the way that they play that game. And so we've always had trouble. I mean, Snell, he's a player. Morton, he's a player. They have really good pitching, and they're kind of like they sort of are skimpy in many ways. Like they'll like go and throw an opener just to give those guys more time, better position sometimes. Better opportunity to come into the game a little bit later, after you go through maybe the first few batters, if you can, get the first three out, terrific. But even still, you go through some of the first couple batters, you could bring an opener in and keep them in two innings. We saw that with Chad Green. They're a scrappy bunch. And then they get key hits, and it's little hits. As we've seen, I don't think they brought Darno back though, which he was a disruptor as well. I don't think they brought him back this year, so he's not on the team. But he was a little disruptor, and as well as we've seen Kilmeyer kill us. So I think you're right. Austin Meadows, that's another guy that gave us a hard time. I look at these guys and I say, we even had Choi at first base. I mean, he was another pain in the neck. They could all disrupt us. And with the shortened season, could take something away from us, given the fact that we're not healthy. I mean, we act like if we had more time and these guys get better, maybe they won't get injured. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. Oh, you take some games away from Sanchez, maybe he can play the whole season every day. I don't know. The guy hasn't been healthy. So a team like Toronto, a team like the Rays, they could sneak in and be disruptors. And then what? Then we have 2020, another year that we we don't win a championship, which, given all of the money and resources that this organization has put into this team and the wake of this coronavirus now, oh, my God, another year without a championship, with all the resources, with all the money spent on this team, oh, what a disaster. What a disaster. And, you know, does Gardner hang out another year? I don't know. I mean, obviously, I haven't really seen him play.
He can't go out. He can't go out another year? He wouldn't go out like that. Yeah, he would.
I can't imagine.
No way.
I know, but I don't mean that, Steve. I mean, could he really be competitive another year? I want to believe so. I think he's one of the best athletes in the American League, even at his age, given his hardcore workouts and the way that he conditions himself and takes care of himself. I hope so. But, you know, it's like poor CC Sabathia hung in there two extra years. That, I mean, obviously he had bad knee and, you know, other things going on. But the guy hung in there. And to have that, I'm starting to make myself sick. But and to have that championship taken away from that guy like that is just ridiculous. He hung out for 2 years waiting for a second opportunity. Because clearly he would have gone out after that second opportunity. You know what? He never got it. And that's just, like, shameful. But I don't want that to happen to Gardner, obviously. I want him to be on a team that's going to win. He deserves it. He's carried us. I mean, people will think I'm crazy, but he is captain-ish, right, because of the way that he played. And, you know, I got to say this, Steve, because I've been dying to say it. I haven't written it either. But, my God, the umpires were more concerned about Brett banging his bat than paying attention to the fact that, maybe the Houston Astros are cheating. Huh, could you imagine? No. Let's pick on poor Brett Gardner, who was frustrated with the way this game was going. For all we know, he knew something about them cheating, and he was frustrated. So, you know what? I get so angry when I think about it. You pick on Brett Gardner, the grittiest guy, hardcore, you know, he's a natural, if you will. And you're picking on him, and meanwhile we've got, you know, people stealing right under their noses. It's so ridiculous. It makes me so angry. Thank you for letting me say that. I've been holding it in for months.
No doubt. I got to ask you this, though. Because this is the season prediction episode, and because of this shortened season thing, this theme we've been going on this episode, let's do a process of elimination, okay? I mean, we talked about Toronto. We talked about Tampa Bay. You know, I might put in Boston, not to win the division, but just to compete. 100 games. I'm looking at teams that could compete within the American League. I'm not even going to get into the National League yet. May have to do that in a couple of weeks when we're back on. But anyway, American League, because this really is not a good thing for the Yankees over less than 162. Because if we're looking at wild card, Suzanne, right? I'm thinking in the Central. I'm already scratching off Detroit. I'm not buying Detroit. I'm not buying what Detroit's selling. I'm not buying what the White Sox selling. Even though I do like some of the pieces with the White Sox that they've put in together, their farm, don't like the White Sox, even in the shortened season. So I look at – we already know Minnesota is a powerhouse. I will say – who's it? Cleveland. So that's two in that division, right? Go to the West. Okay, the Astros, for what it's worth, whatever. I think they – you know, I don't know how this is going to play to their psyche because they're going to get it regardless. Maybe because of this pandemic, maybe the fans aren't – I mean, they probably give them a hard time when they come to the park, whether, you know, when the season does resume, but not as much as it had it been started at the start of late March. But anyway, the whole point, what I'm trying to say, the Angels is another team that – was kind of like, oh, God, they're not the same team once they, you know, when Scherzer left, you know, Mike Scherzer left. But adding Rendon from the national, the world champion Nationals, like you said, you know, like throw him at third base. Pujols, I know he's up there in age, but he's still serviceable, you know, whether he plays at first, DH. We already know Mike Trout is one of the best players in my generation or younger generation, how you want to put at it. they may be one of those sleeper teams, along with the Athletics, too. I'll put the Athletics in there. I'm looking at, let's say, the Athletics, the Angels, the Astros, for however you want to put it, division, wild card, the two teams in the Central. That we're talking about eight teams fighting, possibly fighting for those two wild card spots. And if you look at the Yankees, I think they may even have it tougher because I think there's just more competition within our division than Central teams versus each other or West teams versus each other. What case do you have as far as the wild card spot? Are you going to go the homer route, or are you going to say, okay, well, the Yankees are going to win the division, or you really think it's not as, you know, clear cut with winning the division? If it's a wild card situation, where do you see where the Angels, the Rangers, the if you want to throw in the Astros, the Athletics, the Indians, the Whites, not the White Sox, who's the other team I'm saying, the Indians, the Twins, and then, of course, the Rays and the Jays. So where do you see this possibly going in the shortened season as far as where does it come down to, especially division and the two wild card spots?
I don't know about the Astros. I think we're going to give it to them. You know, maybe it's going to be dulled a little bit, to your point, but I still think it's going to get in their heads. It's going to get in their psyche. I don't see them in the mix. Angels, yeah, they're an interesting team. I'd like to see them do better. I mean, they clearly did not have the team last year. You said all the reasons why they didn't. I think Rendon is a great piece, you know, to add, you know, definitely some offense. And also, I think, some additional fan support and fan love, if you will. I've always thought the Athletics had, you know, had grit and, you know, they had that interesting pitching that was going on. I was always afraid to kind of play them. So, you know, I think, you know, it comes down, you know, if the Angels have a good season, that'd be kind of interesting. But I think the A's win that division. I think Cleveland continues to be hardcore. And, you know, the Twins, that's going to be tough. We could get a wild card out of that. I agree with you, Chicago. They have some nice pieces. Detroit has some nice pieces. Not in it. I mean, yeah. I mean, and then you've got like then we got our Rays and then Toronto's. So, yeah, you might be right. The only team you're giving a little extra faith. And a little extra love to the Astros a little bit, but I just don't see it. I think Boston's going to make it interesting, but they are out of it. I mean, I see them fourth in that division, really, in our division, because I just think Toronto and the Rays and the three of us. Yeah, I think it's the three of us in that division hunting. Somebody's going to win it, you know, and somebody's going to be the wild card. And then, you know, then you're looking at the Toronto. The Twins, the Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the direction I'm going. But I think with that shortened season, there's not going to be any kind of outlier that's going to like sneak their way in. That's my feeling.
So the Yankees are okay. I don't have 100% to land the division. Or the wild card, you give it above, I don't know, 80%, 75%, or you don't want to go that high, you don't want to think so. That's how you want to look at it.
No. I mean, I think the Yankees either division or they wild card it. I mean, obviously I want the division, but I see even with a shortened season, they get in it. And then at that point, you know, performance-wise in the postseason, they've done so well, you know, against all odds. So I think it's just a matter of getting in. I mean, everybody says we got to win the division too. I'm not convinced. You look at a team like Washington, they didn't have to win that division. Uh-huh. They just had to get in. And it's a whole new season when you get into the postseason. So I think they just got to worry about getting in, worry about like just fending off the disruptors in Toronto and Tampa Bay, and just stay focused and just get in. And then we'll figure it out from there. from the standpoint of, I think, as I said, Oakland, I think, is a good team. They've been
good. Yes, they are.
And, you know, you have some, you know, there is some promise with the Angels. They can't be like they were last year. And I know we're not talking the National League at all, which, I mean, honestly,
I hate to say this. What's your thoughts on the National League?
I hate to say this. We're not talking about the National
who?
League yet. I'm saying, in general, we're not talking about.
Who?
I'm afraid of the Phillies, and I hate to say it. Come on.
Oh, they're good.
You put a guy
that
in there.
That division is
going to
be competitive
CD.
As well.
Oh, we're going to be in trouble with them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them in the World Series. I don't want to see them getting in the postseason. I don't want to worry about them. I mean, then you've got L.A., right? So L.A.
Mm-hmm.
is kind of like
mm-hmm.
that sad song, right? I mean, they are the song. They are coming back for blood this year, Steve.
Yeah.
For blood.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to look at the West, I mean, quickly, the West, I think it's really the Dodgers to lose. I mean, I don't see them losing that at all. I mean, they dominated last year.
No.
Nothing's really changed much. I did like the Diamondbacks, what they brought to the table. And the Padres was playing better, but I don't think their projection is where they need to be, not in the short season, even in the short season. Like I said, all these teams have a better shot to sneak past some teams if they don't get – well to their averages over 162 stretch. Going back to the NL East real quick, you are absolutely correct about the Philadelphia. Look, just the entire division, because I think the Braves are very good. I think the Philadelphia
are
good. And I think the Mets are competitive, even with their bullpen. I think their bullpen is going to be going to keep them. Everybody except Miami. And even Miami's okay. You know what I'm saying? The Marlins. So that division, maybe top to bottom, maybe not have the best teams in the sport. They have very good teams. And, of course, you want to throw in the Nationals, knowing they're coming off the World Series title. I mean, that's just going to be fun. I mean, just look at what the Philadelphia Phillies is bringing to the table. We know Joe Girardi, of course, as your manager, right? And then, of course, Gregorius, you know, Didi Gregorius is probably going to start at shortstop. And then you have, your favorite catcher, JT Real Muto. Mm-hmm. Out there catching
him.
The ball. And then I'm not really the biggest Bryce Harper fan. And I mean, that's kind of a guy. He's kind of what he is, you know, 240, 245. He'll hit a lot of home runs. But Joe Girardi is going to get those guys to compete. Oh, I really like Atlanta, though. If I had to pick a team in the division, I think they're very good, man. Especially adding Ozuna from St. Louis as well. Throwing him in the middle of the lineup around those young, you know, Albies and your Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman type of cats. The NL East is going to be fun to watch. So if in between the Yankee games or just, you know, watching the NL on the side, man, I mean, you're right. That division, I mean, I'm not even going to put Miami on that pedestal with the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies, but I think they have scrappy players too. So that top to bottom is probably the most, I guess you could say, competitive division in out of all the divisions, that's including the AL East, because I think we're top heavy because we know Baltimore stinks.
Agree.
Baltimore stinks. But in the NL East, everybody's pretty much halfway decent, at least.
Agree. They got Cutchin. I am a fan of Zach Wheeler, whatever you want to say. I think he's a great player. I mean, we almost picked him up. Rhys Hoskins has been good, even though he's dirty. I feel like he's like a Chase Utley. Dave Robertson, maybe he'll have a better year than he did last year. They have some good players. They have Drew Smyly. They have Zach Wheeler. They picked up some good players. So, I'm a little afraid of them. I mean, I'm going to be going to the games holding up signs saying, bring me my team back, you know, essentially. I think Joe Girardi could get a break from the game a little bit after the whole Yankee thing. I think he comes back for blood, and I think
he's a victim of 2017 cheating, by the way.
He is a victim of cheating. You should.
Cost him his job.
He's a victim of
cheating.
Should
file a lawsuit for that.
Cost him his job. Cost him his job. 100%. And listen, I'm not an Aaron Boone fan at all. So, and so he's out there for blood. He took a little time off. He's not that old. He, you know what? That whole crap about him not relating to the players. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, he has young
kids.
He has, that's the most ridiculous statement. He has teenagers as his, I mean, he's, you know, come on. That's totally ridiculous. So,
right.
I you know what? He's going to be out of blood. Something for you, Steve. Like, I am a hardcore baseball fan. I you know, it was Yankees, Dodgers, you know, when the Yankees went back-to-back 77-78. I was a little kid, and I'll tell you who played for the Dodgers. It was Dusty Baker. So you put Dusty Baker in as the manager of the Houston Astros. Holy God. What kind of job is that? Was that a good decision for Dusty? I mean, it's the end of his career. He's 70-something years old at this point. He goes in to do what? Like, what in God's name can he really do? And this is a guy that played hard for Tommy Lasorda. And you put this guy in? It's like putting a saint in there, really. I'm baffled that he would even take that job. Thoughts?
I mean, sometimes I guess it comes down to you missed the game. He's been, you know, managing all those years, decades, you know, San Francisco Giants, so on and so forth, like, or the Reds. You know, sometimes that's just what you love to do at the end of the day. It's kind of the same reason why you mentioned Joe Girardi. You know, you're a manager, and you're there every day. You're traveling with the team. You're in the clubhouse. It's that sometimes broadcasting or you're at the desk of MLB Network is just not going to cut it. Unless it's really past your time. But sometimes, for some guys, you're so used to doing that, that's part of your life. You can't just let go of that. And I can respect that. You know, the Astros pick him up because, obviously, for the same reasons, you know, for the reasons of he's a familiar name. I mean, that's just, hey, that's Dusty Baker. He's been around the block. Let's bring him on. I mean, and he wants to manage, let him manage. Suzanne, final thoughts as we're at the conclusion of the season prediction episode of Art Squad Around the Sport. Your final thoughts, any articles coming down the pike as well?
Yeah, so I got to figure out what to write about tomorrow, so that'll be interesting. I mean, we've been monitoring,
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Break down a shortened season, how this plays out within our division, if you have not already.
No, I think that's a good idea, and you've given me a lot of good opportunities to think about it here, you know, that shortened season and everything we kind of talked about. So likely I will follow up on that with something. I mean, we've been doing some interviews here and there. Again, you can follow everything with what's going on with the coronavirus, the changes to the MLB schedule by going to Bleeding Yankee Blue. By going to myself at Suzy Prof, at Suzy Prof 1 on Instagram, at Suzy Prof on Twitter. We try to bring you the fans' perspective. We'll sell you straight. We're not throwing anything at you that hasn't been vetted. We may get you to start thinking a little bit on your own, throw something out there that will make you think about the season or make you think about a particular player, but we will be straight up and, provide you with some entertainment along the way. So I hope you'll read us. And you know what, Steve, final thoughts on the season. I mean, I think, this is a wait and see. I think it's a shortened season. I think the Yankees have a battle with the shortened season within our division minimally. And then, of course, there's the other disruptors that might be across the league and, of course, in the National League. It's going to be interesting. We do get a little bit more time to get ramped up for the shortened season. So guys like Jordan Montgomery, guys like Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, who need a little bit of extra time to kind of, like, come off of injuries and strengthen themselves, even Miguel Andujar, it plays well for us. to kind of have a little bit more time. But again, it's going to be an interesting season with the Astros, unfortunately, because it will be shortened. But do we extend into November? You know, my hope is that yes, we do that. So I'm excited to see when we get started and when, quote unquote, the fake spring training gets back up. But you know, I'm glad to be here, Steve, and I'm excited that, you know what, it's here and we can feel it, we can taste it.
Absolutely. Suzy Prof one on Instagram, Bleeding Yankee Blue. I look forward to the articles coming up in the next couple of weeks, because we won't be on next week. We would have had our quarterly bi-week, so next week we have no episodes with the Bleed Blue Show. So I look forward to reading some content. I mean, this is the part of the life, not even sports, Suzanne's life. There's no sports going on. I might as well read somebody's opinion, agree or disagree with it, and wait for the waiting count of start of a shortened season. I believe it's going to happen. I don't know how many games. It makes it even more interesting now because of the dynamics, the theater, the politics of the game, of the cheating scandals, and then add on the teams that have gotten better. I think the race is even going to be more hectic, and the Yankees, there's not going to be no room for error for any team. That may make it even more exciting for the for that fact alone. But Suzanne, we'll be back in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we will be back to discuss more off-season baseball, or I guess you could say baseball on hold. Let's call it that for now. I think that's for preseason. Yeah, there it is. It definitely is preseason. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Tanga Yasu, Suzanne, Bleeding Yankee Blue. Follow our articles, the Bleeding Yankee Blue, the Block Spot. Tanga Yasu, Bleed Blue.
Bye-bye.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep.